We had been going to a cruise in Mediterranean for the last 3 weeks, right? We go with Apostle Paul in his trip to Mediterranean, and we stop by at Galatian, the city of Galatia, which is about, there's a lot of churches that Apostle Paul started in that place. But before I get into that, our lesson this morning, I just want to ask you, what is the largest organism in the world today? Does anybody? The largest organism in the world today. Anybody have any idea? Eric, do we have that in our do you think that might be the largest organism? It's the whale. And there's a explanation on that one. Is there a thing in there? No? The largest whale? Or maybe the next one. Do you think the sequoia, the tree, the giant redwood over 200 feet high, with a single trunk of 100 feet around, you think that might be the biggest organism, the largest organism in the world today? Or maybe this guy here. Do you know what's that one? That's a quick aspen. The quick aspen. It grows in the northern part of California, mostly in Utah. And this tree, this aspen tree, is their roots are interconnected, and the branch is not even maybe less than a foot big, but yet it has a large of interconnected trees, and in their interconnectedness of the aspen gives life and strength. Because of their roots, they're depending on the roots, and they are interconnected. That even though they will be, sometimes there's fire that will raise them. They will survive, and that they will grow up again because of their roots that are interconnectedness. So the rest of the tree in that area, it could be, it says here, trembling aspen at sunset. Individual clonal colonies can be discerned during the autumn as seen in the mountain. And it propagates itself primarily throughout root sprout and extensive and are common. So they propagate about the roots. And that's why they are able, even though they are born, but they have the ability to survive, and they will grow up again. So you might think, Pastor, where are you going? So I want you to open your Bible in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. Are you all there? Galatians chapter 2. Are you all there? Say amen if you're there. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. It says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slave. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were to make make no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry and as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, give me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. For all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the book of Galatians, the epistle of Paul, that we can learn the things that you have in this scripture that you set before us. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to illuminate to us the things that we need to know, that we may help us in doing and in praise to the Lord God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So this the quaking aspen that I mentioned, it's even though they are small, maybe the trunk maybe less than a foot, but because they are widespread and they are interconnected with one another. So it's just like the church, and it's meant to be like the mighty aspen, not like the oak fighting a survival in their own, but the mighty aspen is like a Christian, like the church. Like there's common root of fellowship in Christ Jesus. So it's an illustration that maybe, yeah, what shall we do? So we wanna look up that chapter 2 of Galatians, and then we can glean on what we can glean from this verse that it's applicable in our life, in the growth of the church, and in our growth individually. So as I read this, there's a basis, there's a starting point for all of us that we can learn from this aspen, this tree that I mentioned it to you. And in this passage today, there's something that it can help us in our work for the ministry and for our own self. So Paul, after 14 years, he's traveling. So we're leaving Mediterranean and going back to Jerusalem this time. And Paul is going to Jerusalem because there's something that he wants to clear to the Jerusalem church. Remember, the church started, the original church, it did not start in Rome. It started in Jerusalem, right? You know, when the disciples are in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit came with rushing, like a rushing wind, right? That's when the Pentecost, remember? And the church started it. Amen? It's not in Rome, it's in Jerusalem. So Paul is going back, and remember, Paul is not the original apostle of the 12 apostles. In fact, he is the one killing the apostles, killing the disciples of Jesus Christ. Right? But then in his way to Damascus, he got knocked down. Right? And that's where he started the change of his life. But then in this epistle that he wrote to the Galatian churches, there are seven things that we can underline or we can serve as the basis for our fellowship in Christ. And the first thing that I can learn, that we can glean on here, the one of the seven things that we can glean on in our fellowship. Anyway, the title of my message is what? The right hand of fellowship. So there's seven bases of fellowship in Christ. The first one is humility. In the first one, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. Note that Barnabas, as he went back to Jerusalem, he brought with him Barnabas, and who is the other one? Titus. It says, I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seems to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. So, given what we know about Paul, just from what we have studied about the life of Paul, is that there's a big recognition for him to bring him back to Jerusalem. Because first, when he left Jerusalem, he was killing the believers, people that on the way, or among the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ. But then, when he left Jerusalem, they know that he is a Jew and he's killing the believers. But then, because of that situation that happened to him, he's coming back not as a Jew, not a Judaizer, or the Jewish group. But he is coming back as a Christian, as the follower of Christ. And so, he was nothing if he's not sure of his, he's nothing sure about his calling, because he was killing the Jews, and now he's setting up a Christian church, right? So there's a divine, because of his divine calling in his life. So there's a change in his life. Now he's starting churches in Galatia. There's so many churches in Galatia. And for all of us here this morning, because every one of us, there's a call in your life. Amen? You're called to the praises. What's that song that we have? We are called to the praises of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the calling, right, Sister Myra? Amen. That each one of us, there's a call in each one of our life. And the same thing with Paul. His calling is not about killing the believers. His calling is about, he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. So, but going to Jerusalem, there is the spirit of humility, because he's going there to see the leaders of this church, right? And he's calling there, and it's going there being in submit himself to the leaders of this church, to the church in Jerusalem. Amen. So there is humility involved in going back to Jerusalem. Right? And that's when God calls you, there is that that humility that will say, you know what, I surrender. We need to surrender our life to the calling of God in our life. Amen? So the first thing that we can see in the right hand of fellowship, when fellowship with other believers, there is that humility that comes with us, that requires us. Because when you are not in that spirit of humility, chances are, you know, you're gonna see other people like you're gonna be lord over them. Amen? So there's that Apostle Paul is telling to us that there's involved humility or being submitted to the leaders of Jerusalem in the church in Jerusalem. Amen? So that's one thing that we can see, that the basis of our fellowship in Christ is that there's humility involved. Amen? And not only that there's a humility, there's also a diversity involved. So now, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. So now, Paul is bringing Barnabas, which is a Jew, and converted to Christianity. And he has Titus, which is a Greek, that converted to Christianity, but did not go through the rituals. Because the problem that Paul wants to make sure going to Jerusalem, because there's a group of Judaizer, a Jew that were converted to Christianity in Jerusalem, that they're saying, before you become a Christian, you need to do the rituals, the law of Moses, and which is the circumcision. You cannot be a Christian unless you do the ritual. So now Paul is in danger that his message is going to be in vain, because they're saying that in order to be a Christian, you need to do the rituals. You need to do the ceremony of circumcision, and then you receive Jesus Christ by grace. But Paul said, you know what? It looks like my gospel that I presented to them is going to be in vain. And that if that will happen, all of us probably, we got to be a Jew first. Right? In order to be a Christian. So that's what Paul is going there. And he wants to make it clear to them that his pure message is that you and me are saved by grace, and that by grace alone, not by law or with rituals. Amen? So he brought Barnabas, which is a Jew, and then Titus, which is a Greek, that all of these two did not go to the ritual that the Judaizer in Jerusalem is trying to tell them. Amen? So the fellowship, the title of my message in here is that the right hand of fellowship is that there's humility when you come and together, is that there's humility and there's diversity. And then the second mark of a Christian fellowship, there is loyalty. Loyalty. In chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, this matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slave. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. So the loyalty that Paul and the rest of the apostle is that to the true gospel, which is by grace, because there is a group of people, they are not Christians, that they infiltrated them, But they are there to just spy and trying to discredit Paul. Because Paul, they said that Paul was he just raised up by himself. Not compared to Peter and John and Mark. They are a group of Christians, but they are saying that Paul is just, he just raised up himself. He didn't go through the group of these apostles. And so they're trying to discredit Paul and his message. So there's, Paul was loyal not only to the truth of the gospel that we are saved by God's work and not with our work. Right? Amen? We are saved to God's grace, to God's work, to the cross. We are not saved by our own work. Right? Amen? Oh, I hope you guys are convinced that we are not saved by our own work. We are saved through the work of God. Amen? So, Paul was loyal to the truth, which is we are saved by grace and grace alone. Amen? So the point here is that when there is a room for diversity, it's non-essential. The core of the gospel is not negotiable. Paul said, no, it's not negotiable. It's not, because they're trying to convince that in order to be saved, you got to do the ritual, the law of Moses. But Paul said, no, that's not, because Paul, remember, he was directly, God spoke to him directly when he was on his way to Damascus. He did not get it from somebody, even though he went to Gamaliel, but his primary source is the Holy Spirit. When he was knocked down, when he was blinded for 3 days, that's when he get his the word of God from the word through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what and you know, when I was studying on this, the word that came to me, the revelation that came to me is that I keep coming this and sharing this because this is the Logos, right? The Word of God. Remember in John, when the Word become flesh and dwell amongst us, this is the Logos, the Word of God. But then there's a Rhema Word, the Word from the Holy Spirit. And that Paul, when he's went to Damascus, He received the Rhema word. God speak to him directly. Amen? And all of us, God could speak to us directly too. Not only we can study the word of God. Yes. The Rhema comes through by studying the word of God. The Logos. And a lot of people are contained with the Logos. Their mind is filled up with the Word of God, which is through the Logos. But then the Rhema Word, which is, remember, the promise of the Father is to send the Holy Spirit, which is the what? The revealer of truth. Amen? So the Rhema Word. Remember that. Rhema and Logos. Say that with me. Rhema and Logos. Logos is this. This is the Logos. The Word of God. The Rhema is the Spirit speaking to you the Word of God. Amen? That's very important. Because the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. He is the one that illuminates to us what's in there. What's in this. The Logos. Amen? Are you with me? So this matters. There's a loyalty. There's in fellowship. There is humility, diversity, and there's loyalty. Loyalty to the message, to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you with me so far? Okay? Number four, not only there's humility, there's a diversity, there's loyalty, but also there's unity. There's unity in the fellowship. As for those who seems to be important, whenever they were makes no difference to me, God does not judge my external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. See, Paul and the Jerusalem leaders agreed that they were preaching the same message. That they had unity in their message. That you may say that sounds like it's a last point. Yes, but I want to take it a step farther for this. When there is no unity in this essential, there is no Christian fellowship. Amen? If there is no unity in our fellowship, in our relationship, there is no Christian fellowship. Amen? Because unity is very essential in our Christian fellowship. Amen? It's not profitable to pretend Christian fellowship exists where there is unity essential is missing. Right? Amen? It's hard. We cannot pretend that there is Christian fellowship if there is no unity to one another. Amen? We cannot exist if there is no unity in the fellowship. Amen? It's not profitable to pretend Christian fellowship exists where there's unity is missing. Amen? So in the right hand of fellowship, there is humility, what's the other one? Humility, there's diversity, loyalty, and unity. And the fifth one, there's also what? Responsibility. See, on the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. See, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and Peter was an apostle to the Jews. Paul had a job that he was called to do. Peter had a job that he was called to do. So that means each one of us have a call in our life that we need to do. And that's the way how God had planned, not only for them, but also for all of us. Amen? They each have a territory where they have to do their job. Amen? There is Peter that will take it, that will be the apostle of the Jewish people. And then we have Paul, the apostle for the Gentiles, for you and me. Amen? And each of us have a job to do too. Right? Tell the next person, you got a job to do too. Amen? You got a job. Yeah, you're a supervisor or a clerk or whatever you are. But your call is to the praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Each of us has a responsibility to do the job that God has called us to do. And you are equipped to do it. Amen? I shared that this morning. Remember what Brother Irvin shared with us last Sunday? Remember that the son, the prodigal son, came back to his father. And then the first thing that the father did, what did he do? He put a robe to his son. You know what robe is? It means it's an anointing that has been given to you. The robe. He clothed you. God clothed you with that anointing. And that anointing is for you to use in the church. And sometimes, you know, we kind of good in something, and then God anointed you to do that, but then sometimes you use that outside the church, that will not work, because the anointing is for the church. Amen? The anointing is for the church, for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we use it in the world. God says, that's for my kingdom. And we think, oh, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. But you know what? It's an anointing that's solely for the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you with me? So there is that responsibility for all of us. And nobody is exempted from that responsibility. In God's Aspen Grove, get your limb out for that start to grow, regardless of it's going to race with fire, but that Aspen Grove will grow. Because that's what God has been designed for them. Amen? So we have in the right hand of fellowship, there is what? There is unity, humility, diversity, loyalty, unity, and then that responsibility. See, when God gives you the power, it goes with responsibility. Amen? And then number six is congeniality. Congeniality. That's friendly, being friendly, with niceness, but then the opposite of congeniality is what? Rude. Nasty. See? Just think about that. In a fellowship, when one person is rude, what happened to the fellowship? It's going to break. It's going to be gone. That's why it's important. Right? So it's important in the right hand of fellowship, it's important to have that friendliness, likability. It is in verse 9, it says, James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, give me and Barnabas the right hand of what? Right hand of fellowship when they recognize the grace given to me. See? There is when Peter and John, when the leaders of the Christian church in Jerusalem and even Barnabas give them the right hand of fellowship because those ingredients, those essential basis of fellowship, the humility, diversity, the unity, and responsibility, congeniality, it's all in there. That's why they give Apostle Paul the right hand of fellowship when they recognize that their message, the message of the Jerusalem church, and the message that Paul is bringing or preaching to the Galatians, they are all the same. There's a unity in their message. But the only thing that happened there is because there is a group of Jewish people that's trying to spy and to discredit Paul's message. And that makes the whole church in a mess because of that one or that group of people that's trying to discredit Paul. So congeniality is very important in the fellowship of the believers. Amen? Have you heard about the gospel according to Rodney King? Do you know Rodney King? Anybody? I think that was in 79 or 80. In the riot in L.A.? 86. 90s. And Rodney King says, what did Rodney King said? Can we just not get all along? Remember that? Yeah. So actually, it goes behind that one. The picture is one of the genuine warmth. We don't just tolerate one another in the church. The basis of our Christian fellowship is the love of Christ. Amen? It's the love of Christ. Because without the love of Christ, if we just tolerate in our own self, it's gonna one way or another, there's a crack there if the basis is not about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's another Christian scholar, Jack Van Ince, wrote in a leadership magazine, it says, people join the church more because they want warm than light. We like to think it's our stunning proclamation of the truth that keeps them in the pew. See, people come to church and stay in the church not because of anything or the ministry. People come and stay in the church because of the relationship. Not about the good light there or their facility. Most of the time, or all of the time, I would say most of the time, that people stay in the church because of that relationship. Amen? And lastly, number 7, charity. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. So that's what really the heart of Paul. In James, when he said that the true religion is to take care of the orphans and the widows, the poor. Amen? And that's what we have here in Bohol. We have those orphans. That was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. When we went there, there's about 40 orphans in there. Now, I think there's about 50 something. So, we send our support to these 50 orphans. But besides that, there's the three brothers that we support. And now, Jonathan, the one in here, he's going to college. And the small one, which is Janus, he is in a middle school. And to support these three, besides from the whole orphanage, we support these three. And now they're going to college. And the process is that these orphans here, they don't have a parents, they don't have a father or a mother. When they're done with their college, they go find a work, and then they will come back to the orphanage and do their job, to put in their own time to help other orphans to grow. And they are in Bohol, in the Philippines. Amen. So, because we believe that the true religion is to take care of the orphans, the widows. Amen. And that's our missionary Mike and his wife Jeanette. Amen. So I just want to encourage you that we have the word of God is speak to our life that we need to take care of these people that are poor. And if we want to have a response to the message of Paul, is that it's very humbling to when if you got going back to the Philippines, let me know, because maybe you can stay there for a night, or maybe spend three weeks, because this Australian, there's an Australian youth that she stayed there for 3 weeks, and then after 3 weeks she extended for 3 months, because the ministry to these kids, it's very touching. Amen. And when we were there, we went to Noknokan Island with Edwin. There's a little girl that her dad died because he went swimming, deep sea fishing. I think he broke his ears or something. He died, and the mom left the three kids. The two was taken care of, but this one girl was still roaming around the small island, and she helped herself. Is that when the fisherman catch the fish for the day, and then they clean it up in a bamboo thing in here, and then when they're done, the water, it goes to the sand. And that's what she eat. The when they clean up the fish. And that's what she eat, is the whatever the flavor she can get from the sand. Amen. So the right hand of fellowship, the right hand of fellowship, as Paul shared with us this morning, is that there is a humility that's involved. There is a diversity that's involved. That, you know, it's not only one or Filipino or Caucasian, but there is diversity in our fellowship. There is this Ilocano, there is Tagalog, there is Cebuano, there is Ilonggo. So there's diversity. There's Caucasian, and we have the Jordanian guy right here. He's coming. Right? Shalom? See, there's a diversity. Amen? So, that's the kind of church that the Lord is looking. Even though it's small, but we are in God's hand. Amen? We are in God's hand. And I just want to encourage you to keep praying, and pretty soon we're gonna fill up this seat. Amen. Shall we all stand? Where's our worship team? So the ingredients, the basis of our fellowship. Maybe some of us this morning, there is something that you need to reconcile with that person. Or maybe there is a standing up or something that you argue with one another. So there's something that maybe we have to take care of that, so that we can have a fellowship. I was reading the devotion this morning. How many of you read the devotion, the daily devotion by the Daily Bread? Have you read that thing that the pastor asked the guy? He said, "You know what? Can you pray? Can you pray, do a closing prayer or pray in the church?" And then the guy said, "You know what, Pastor, I could not pray." And the pastor said, "Why you cannot pray?" And he said, "You know what, in our way going to church this morning, Pastor, I fight with my wife. We argue. And I could not just go up front and pray and pretend that there's nothing wrong. And that's why it's important to reconcile. Maybe there's something between you and your spouse or your children. In your own way, wherever you are. You know, as they sing the closing song that we have, maybe you can deal with that. You can ask the Lord to forgive you or give you any kind of source that you can reconcile and be right with God, and because we need to be right with one another before we can be right with God. Amen. And I believe this morning the message is not just because it's the message, but I believe that God has given it to us because God wants to use us more in a powerful way. But we cannot do it if we have offenses that are existing. And we cannot just go on and go on pretend that there's nothing wrong in our life, in our relationship. Amen? So as they sing this song, ask the Lord. Don't confess it to me. Confess it with Him. And I believe that God will honor you. Will honor your prayer, the reason why you approach Him. Amen? So, as they sing the song, ask the Lord for forgiveness and reconcile with that person. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, Lord.